like to reconvene the August 27, 2019 meeting of the Marine Resources Commission. Next item on the agenda is Robert James McBride, Oyster Planting Ground, 2017-171. Mr. Stagg.
Sir. So we do have before you oyster planting ground application from Mr. Robert James McBride. The location is in Lancaster County, Mulberry Creek, and out into the Rappahannock River. We did receive this application and conducted our normal public interest review. He originally requested approximately 71 acres. Again, most partially within Mulberry Creek and out the mouth of the creek. We did receive that back in November of 2017. Due to our backlog, we just got around to surveying it this year. We did receive objections in February of 2018 as a result of the public notice. One from Mr. Grayson Jennings with concerns about possible adverse impact to navigation within the creek. We also received a second letter from Mr. Mark Eldert. With his letter was a petition signed by 35 local residents and/or property owners. And Mr. Eldert's letter had a little more detail, and we assume that his letter was a synopsis of the petition concerns. But those concerns did include public food safety. He did note that a portion of the application falls within a restricted classification by the health department for shellfish harvest, and I'll address that later in my evaluation. He also noted safety issues related to navigation. Belle Isle State Park, which is a state park to the south of the application, does have a boat ramp and dock, but it is on the opposite side of the park from where the application is. There are some other concerns related to the park that I'll also address later. He also noted that it's very shallow in this area and that inexperienced boaters do traverse this area quite a bit to include park residents, and that someone falling out of a boat could injure themselves on oysters. Also noted that the marking might encourage boats to go into the shallower areas, go into the deeper areas than the shallow areas, and that might create some conflict with motorized vessels. There's also two sandbars that were addressed in his letter that he believes location of this lease could exacerbate those sandbar encroachments into the channel. So this is the location of the application. We're on the north side of the river. There are two pending applications in this slide. Mr. McBride's is the one to the north. It does wrap around by Belle Island Park, as you can see there. And that creek, which is partially obliterated, the name of it is Mulberry Creek. There are considerably a number of leases in the area. So a little closer view with the aerial background. Again, the northern of the two green polygons is the area that was applied for. A little closer view. The red now depicts the area as we surveyed it. Pretty close to what Mr. McBride asked for. We did survey the area in July. The northern boundary, as shown here, is south of a privately marked channel at the midpoint of the application there that has been marked for people going in and out of the creek, both to the north and the creek to the east. The boat launch for the park is actually off the slide and to the south. But you see this road that's in Belle Park, Belle Isle Park. Near the end of that road, there's some camping, and right in that little concave bay embayment right here, people do launch kayaks from the beach. We contacted the park. They did have some concerns about this configuration, and I'll show you how we address that in a moment. But we think we've addressed that to their satisfaction in the revised drawing. To address the area being restricted, as you can see in this slide, Mulberry Creek does have a restriction area in it. And a portion of the application, this portion to the east, is within a restricted area that does not allow for direct market harvest of shellfish in the summer months, but is open in the winter. The rest of the application is in open classified waters. Our current policy since 2015 is to not lease areas that are restricted year-round, which would be this area upstream, but that we will accept applications and assign ground within conditionally restricted areas. It means they are open some parts of the year. In addition, should you grant this lease, Mr. McBride could relay oysters from the restricted to the clean portion of his lease under a relay permit issued by the health department and our law enforcement. So the issue of navigation was one of the biggest issues that I heard from the residents. This is a chart which doesn't give you but so much information. This is not quite oriented north, but this is the creek. The application comes in this area here. As you can see, 4 to 5 feet is what's on this chart. Primarily the deeper water is generally on the northern side of Belle Isle or closer to the mainland side. This is a little bit different one that my surveyor put together. Again, the application wraps around this point, and you can see that you've got 3 to 5 feet of water in here. There is a dredged channel further up the creek for access for some of the people. And then there's a marked channel. This was the original survey. So we originally surveyed this. It was 70 acres, within an acre of what Mr. McBride asked for. This has been modified. Again, here's a Belle Isle Park. This is the end of the road where the little embayment is. The actual boat ramp is way down here on another creek. So this is the original surveyed corners. We sent these to the protestants, not all 35 petitioners because we didn't have their address, but we did send it to the two gentlemen who had protested the application and a third one that I got a call from later. I'm not sure everybody here has seen the revision, but this was the original. Again, this is my surveyor's depiction of generally the channel. There are actually some channel markers. This is not an official project channel or anything. These are just residence channel markers, in my understanding. But anyway, there's one here and there's one here. So generally, this is the way people would come out. They certainly do cut across here, I think, when they come out, because it's generally a similar depth out here. So the concern was that in this area right here, it's pretty narrow. This is where one of those sandbars are that cause some concern, and also this area as well. So your eval doesn't really address this because I made these modifications just in the end of last week after the eval was written. So the drawing that I handed out that I was putting on the table when y'all come back for lunch reflects a revision to this alignment. I'm going to skip through these real quick and come back to them in a second. So this depicts the new drawing you see on your desk. So the first thing we did was to address the park's concern is we eliminated what was corner 9 in this cove right here, and we'll go from corner 8 to corner 9. This is a new number 9, and eliminate this hatched area. The park said they believed if we stayed that far offshore, it would not interfere with people launching kayaks and that type of apparatus. This is a duck blind right here that you can see in the photo. It's labeled. The duck blind can stay. Duck blinds are permitted by Game and Inland Fisheries. We also modified this alignment coming in here. And this is really not the revised. This is the revised drawing. It shows both revisions. So this includes the revision for the park. And then we modified this from what you just previously saw, where we went to 15 to 14 to 13. We eliminated 14 in its previous location and moved 15 70 feet to the south to increase this width for access. We also moved corner 1 to approximately halfway between the two shorelines. It was considerably further north. So that leaves this area unrestricted by the lease for navigation access. I believe the opposition will still have some concern with this corner, but I'll let them address that. But as on this alignment, we would go to 14, which is the channel marker, to 13, which is the stake we set, and then follow back around, again, skipping this corner here and going back to here. So this revised acreage would now be a total of 61 acres, 9.46 of which would be in the conditionally condemned area, and 51.54 in the open area. We believe this is a staff level. This is a good compromise to the residents to make sure that this channel area is sort of maintained. Again, I think they'll still have a little bit of concern with this, and they'll have their own drawing. So therefore, after considering the comments of Mr. Jennings and Mr. Elbert and some additional comments by phone since then, and the petition signed by 35 local residents and landowners, we believe that this alignment is our staff recommendation. Again, the boat landing that was referenced in the letter is on the opposite side of the park. We don't believe that that will really have any impact on navigation here. However, the park did note a concern with this cove area. We believe we've addressed that. Some concern was stated in some of the letters that if Mr. McBride put cages on these lease, that would create some navigation hazards. He would be allowed to put cages on this lease per our regulation that allows cages up to 12 inches. However, as you've heard me say in the past, the regulation does stipulate that they cannot create more than a minimal impact to navigation. And therefore, if he did place them in an area that was causing that type of impact, we could require him to either move them to another location or remove them. He did put on the form that he might use cages here and traditional methods. Our current regulations do allow the leasing of areas that are conditionally approved for certain times of the year. Additionally, he could relay from these areas even when it's in the closed area. We do issue leases in shallow water habitats quite often, and oysters do grow naturally in this area, so anyone traversing on foot or boating in a kayak should use caution because you could be injured by oysters at any time, in spite of there not being a lease here at the moment. Therefore, after reviewing the protests and objections and assessing the area and making the modifications you've seen on this drawing, we recommend approval of this configuration of 61 acres. We did use the new law changes to review this using 28.2607 and 28.2205 of the code. And we do recommend this alignment. A new plat would be made of this alignment or whatever alignment the commission approves, should you approve anything here. And once we know what that is, we'll have a final plat made. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, Mr. Zadrin.
How far, when you get to the Bell Island State Park and it starts to wrap around it there, how far are you offshore?
You talking about this line?
Yeah.
Or the other one that you revised?
My surveyor's here. He might be able to tell me that.
The revision from the shoreline that was initially applied for to where it is now.
So these are pretty close to the shoreline.
Yes.
How close to mean low water would you say?
10 to 15 feet.
How much farther around to the left?
And then, of course, I stayed. And here we have some crab traps that come off the island that I stayed 20
to 30 feet. Wait a second. State your name for the record, please.
Chris Myers.
Were you here were you sworn this morning?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
He's a commission surveyor for this area.
Yep.
A follow-up question. Why are we leasing that so close to a state park where in the future people might, you know, want to go off into the water and stuff like that? Why was it so close to the line of the state park?
Well, when an applicant applies, they can obviously ask for what they want. He asked to wrap around this park relatively closely. We did send this to the park to make sure they didn't have concerns. They did contact me back and say their only concern was where corners 7, 8, 9, 10 were. We revised that. I sent them that revised alignment, and they indicated they did not have any objections to the rest of the way it was.
Did
started.
They understand that he could put cages there?
Yes.
Further questions? refresh my memory. Are we still leasing new leases in condemned areas?
If they're conditional. That means they have to be open at some point of the year.
Okay.
So this is open in the winter months. It's closed.
I thought we had kind of cut back on those.
The regulation says that if it's year-round restriction, we will not lease those.
I understand. Okay.
You have the option of obviously not leasing.
No, I just could not.
For health concerns and other reasons. But
I just knew we had a regulatory thing, that, especially with law enforcement relaying and all that kind of stuff all the way up. Good. Further questions? Ms. Everett?
So the staff recommendation, it's been updated since the evaluation, so it's 61 acres that staff recommends approval.
Yes. This is the revised recommendation with two modifications, one to address the park issue and one to attempt to address some of the navigation issues expressed by the residents.
Ms. Ballard.
Does the applicant have any history of reporting or any history of harvest or other leases?
I believe this gentleman is new, and Chris may have spoken to him and be able to address that a little bit better.
I believe his father has a lease with us, but he has expressed to me that this is not commercial, that he's using this as for his own benefit.
Clarify that
if you can.
Yeah, he's expressed to me that this is only for personal use.
61 acres.
So on our questionnaire that we make everybody fill out on how you're going to use the ground, he did put traditional methods, and he did put that he might put cages on this. We do not ask in that questionnaire, is this for commercial purposes? We sort of assume most of these leases are for commercial purposes, but certainly someone could get one just for their own recreational harvest and not, you know, not sell them.
Okay. All right. Any further questions? Is the applicant still here, represented, or did they have to depart?
I think they left because he had to be at work.
Okay. Well,
I don't know how to address that issue.
We will. Is there anyone here in opposition to the project that wishes to be heard? Realizing the applicant is not here, and can someone state the case? Everyone can speak, but who's first? Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Everyone that may testify, please stand. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear a testimony that you may give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help you, God.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Please state your case.
Okay, my name is David Henley. I live in the neighborhood with everyone. And let's see. Yep, here it comes. Let me start from the beginning here. View slideshow. All right, someone help me with that one. Sorry, lost him at the bottom. Go ahead. I'm used to Max, not laptop. There you go. Thank you very much. So Mulberry Creek, which we kindly referred to as Mud Creek back in the day, it's you know, a small community, and first I want to thank you all for hearing our opposition. And we also have an updated petition list with more names than we had last time. Give you those, and some watermen have also signed that. So let's move on to the next. Okay, so Mulberry Creek and surrounding area, which includes Muratico, which is a state designated historic district. It's historically a waterman's village, so we're not like prejudiced against any waterman work there. Home of the museum. A very good neighbor to Belle Isle, and as a matter of fact, this hit me last night when I was putting this together, is that a lot of the traffic in Mulberry Creek is from Belle Isle, which you will see in a few minutes. A lot of docks within the affected area, and a lot of slips. The majority of the community has access to the water, and we still have a number of working watermen and crabmen. So our reasons: safety, navigation, property values, enlarged by our community standard. And when I say that, and when the gentleman says he's just going to do it for his consumption, that's great. But we also know he has the right to put in cages if he wants to. So, and the current use of Mulberry Creek, which is a really big item. Okay. Okay, so on the property values, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but even the Supreme Court has come out and said, hey, look, people buy property of water for the views, for the access, for the fishing. Now, I have to be able to navigate all that. Recreational use, use in creek. Look at all the things we hear. And I like the last one, airplanes. Yes, we have float planes that have landed in the creek. So we have all that above. Multi-person floats, kneeboarding, jet skiing, you name it. That activity takes place there. Okay, so here I wanted to show some reasons that the creek is used all the time. I mean, this is not some, hey, get everybody out on your canoe so we can take a picture for this meeting. This is actual use. Right now, these people would be canoeing and kayaking over these oyster grounds. Show you another one. A little more of the same. They would also be in the oyster ground, as Mr. Stagg pointed out, that duck blind is right in the middle of it. Now we get power boaters and jet skis involved in here, and I kind of thought about how it is for me when I go in the creek and I see paddle boaters and kayakers. And I try to get out of the way as far as I can from them. Well, in this creek, there's not too much room to get out of that way.
I mean, you ought to see Cypress Creek where I live.
Not that great, huh? All right. So this is Belle Isle on that backside. Now, I know it's been addressed, their concern.
Sir, please just...
Sorry.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I know it's been addressed, their concern about egress and getting out, for example. But this is right in the creek. So we got people from Belle Isle in the creek right here where the option wants to be exercised. The aforementioned airplane that has taken off. So I'm not sure how he would work that out if there were oyster cages. And again, we're looking at the worst case here. So... we getting down to what do we see as the reasons? Well, everybody needs stakes or bamboo to complete that. We feel that's a danger to navigation. They're not reflective. I've run across my share of stakes in the water and gouged out some stuff in the boat. And if we have some people pulling little kids in tubes and stuff, I just can see that as an accident waiting to happen. Along with canoers capsizing and getting tangled, anchorage capabilities are reduced, congestion in already hard to navigate creek, and as mentioned, dredging is already needed in certain cases. So, some additional hazards. I can envision work boats on the outside of their work area reaching over and pulling out the cages. Well, we're coming in. And due to the narrow creek, I'm not sure where everybody's going to go. And again, the creek gets very crowded on these nice days. And someone mentioned again, it reduces the area local crabbers can put their peeler traps. This one, I'm hoping everybody can see on the monitor pretty good. I'm trying to note how narrow that channel is. And I think everybody here will agree with me that that channel and any channel markers is only a suggestion. It's take a depth sounding, figure out where you are, and hope for the best. I mean, I've kicked up more mud than I can imagine coming in and out. And this is the last survey that Mr. Stagg has presented. And I think we do all still have issues that especially like number 15. The whole creek's a choke point as far as we're concerned, and especially like number 15 up in there. And these channels shift with the storms, and we get the storms in Moratico, I can tell you that. Oops. Sorry. Yes, this is the furthest point out where the green marker and our one of the number 13, yes, there's room to navigate through there. But I think even as Mr. Stagg noted, we, in a high tide, we know the water. We can zip right across right there. 2.9 feet at this particular mark, and I wish I could get that most of the time. So this must have been a good day. Here's one of the areas, again, in Belle Isle State Park that people just don't understand. These are people pulling up on a beach. This would be in the proposed area. And I think they will try to continue to do that, and that's where a lot of this hazard comes in. More access to the Belle Island pictures. Okay, so a large, by our community standards, commercial operation is incompatible with our hard-to-navigate Mulberry Creek, which is shallow, narrow, and shifting. Few remaining watermen that are all doing crabbing, and all those recreational activities. I mean, it's like the place to be on a good summer day and during marketer season. So, from our point of view, please deny this application in its entirety, and at a minimum, deny the Mulberry Creek component of this application due to the heavy recreational activities, navigation challenges, and safety concerns. And I would bet that if Belle Isle wasn't also a state entity, they would feel more freely to come out in opposition of this also. Thank you. You ready for the next speaker?
Questions for the gentleman? For me? Well, in looking at the lease and looking at everything, especially around that park, I have some concern with the lease. I also have some concern that the individual did not adjust the schedule in a manner to be here for the hearing as well. So I'll just give you a heads up as far as that's concerned. The configuration of the lease is just troubling to me, but anyway. Sure, we're ready for whatever, or we can.
Well, Gary, you feel, yeah, sure? You still feel good.
Please keep in mind, though, stick to what your objections are, because we are on somewhat of a tight schedule. As you notice, we don't a lot, but so much time.
I have one slide.
Sir, go ahead.
My name is Gary Silverman. Also, I live on the creek, and I'm the one who actually has an open dredging permit. So whenever these guys, trying to get contractors in, but within the next 6 months to a year, I expect them to clean out what they did about 3 or 4 years
ago.
Matter of fact, you saw one of the markings, that tall pole with the red stripes, that's at our property. But we're definitely up the creek from this. So I'm well aware of where the channel is, because I have a IO, mm-hmm. and you don't want to destroy your engine coming up, particularly at low tide.
Sure.
I just got Mr. Stagg's proposed thing, and I marked it up. Okay, I really appreciate listening to some of our real concerns. Our concern still sits, I can show you right there at this point. It doesn't really show the sandbar, but this will, depending on the season, storms, et cetera, it's anywhere from 10 to 15 feet, 20 feet off of that point. So it makes it very difficult. And this was drawn this way. In reality, it is does come to the middle, but then comes just out here, the deepest part of the channel coming through. And it's probably for me running 50 times a season, up, double of that up and back,
mm-hmm.
As well as my neighbors doing the same thing. So I put this yellow path in. Is it precise? No, but it's more in that lane. And I really do appreciate pulling this back. This took a good, initially, this one point was way up here, and then. A lot of people sail in that area. But anyway, my proposal, this is the I guess the paddling area where coliform is. I say put one point there and a point here, so he still has essentially this area, thin air strip there. The pictures you saw from the park don't address here. The camping site really is this whole point here. That canoe picture was really from this area here, right around 0.6. So again, you know, you have to really think, people going in, and these people, they were gigging.
Okay, I think okay. I get it, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
I just want to make you have
absolutely. Absolutely.
But
any further objection?
I still preference this to
eliminate
the
eliminate everything.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just adding on to what he has suggested.
No.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you. Understood. Who's next? You state your name for the record, please, sir.
James Vick.
Mr. Vick, good to see you.
I live in Radical, but I'm on Lancaster Creek. I've been running down Mulberry Creek for 60 years. The channel coming in by where the condos are, on low tide, I have a 25-foot inboard boat. I dig mud when I come in the channel on low tide. The park is up about 500 or 700 feet up there where they put the canoes in. When the park opened, I actually put the poles in at our expense for the scenic pier that is there. We did that. And the mud up there, I drove poles in 18 feet. That's why it's called Mud Creek. I would like to know where the gentleman is going to put his cages in that creek, not to block the access to the water. And by the way, a friend of mine says 1970, there's a crabber down there, and we put a boat ramp in. Everybody in Moratico uses that boat ramp. Everybody goes out to mouth of that creek, it's got a boat down there, goes out through that same channel that we talked about the park uses. And far as cages, if it weren't cages, I wouldn't have any objection at all. But I live on Lancaster Creek. It's already been approved for cages. I got a friend of mine that lived five houses down from me. The gentleman came in there with the cages. He blocked his dock in. Once in a while, he'd go fishing with me. I could not even get to his dock. I was there.
If he has that problem, he needs to contact us. And it's blocking navigation. We can do something about that.
It didn't block the navigation in the river. It blocked the navigation to his dock and his boat lift.
All he's got to do is let us know.
He went to Lancaster County, and I know he did this for 4 or 5 years. And he finally sold the place. And cages are dangerous to the community. Because if you fall on one of them, where I live at, I've been there 60 years. My grandkids went on tubes. They skied there. Across the river, we have cages.
Yes,
and
sir.
If you fall on them, you're going to get hurt. And they don't care. And the guy told us, I was standing right there when he told him. He said, will you please move these cages out of my way?
Sir, that's not of the purview of this application.
I understand that, but my problem is, if he won't put cages there, I wouldn't have any problem with it.
Understood.
Cages are nothing but detrimental to the people that live on the water for their kids and grandkids. They are a hazard and a danger.
Thank you.
And something should be addressed to them before y'all approve any more cages on property owners' front porches.
Thank you for the advice, sir. Much appreciated. Anyone else wish to be heard? Yes, sir. Please stick to the points and please do not be repetitive. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Jack Pettigrew.
Good to have you here, sir.
Thank you, sir. I'm opposed to the proposed permit primarily from a safety aspect. Most things have been already presented, but the underwater bars are located with bamboo, PVC, and wood poles, and they tend to break off during storms and ice during the winter and so on, and can lie just beneath jagged stakes, just beneath below the surface of the water. The site being in a residential area where people swim, water ski, and tube will be at risk. Worse than that, the site is adjacent to a state park where outsiders come to camp, swim, ski, kayak, etc., and not knowing that the bar is even there. at an even greater risk. I think it's, in my opinion, the board should deny the request, recommending that the applicant pursue his oyster farming endeavor in a more remote location.
Thank you, Mr. Pettigrew. Thank you, any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Opposition? Seeing none, the matter's before the commission. Mr. Tankard.
We definitely have protestants here that have seemed to have some issues they've brought before us that seem very legitimate to me. And at the same time, we don't have our applicant here. I feel really not able to make a decision that's very well thought out if we don't have the applicant here, to be honest with you.
No, quite honestly, that's not our fault either, in all due respect. Any other further comment? Mr. Zedrin.
I move we deny the application.
Motion made by Mr. Zedrin to deny the application. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Minor. Further discussion. Mr. Ballard?
Just a couple of points. I'm going to agree with the motion to deny the application. While I certainly understand some of the protests, there were certainly a lot I disagreed with as well. But without having the applicant here to hear about his intended use of the grounds and why he's applying for 61 acres, I don't feel I can approve the application. So just a comment.
I've got Ms. Everett, go ahead.
You go ahead.
That was going to be my point as well. I mean, we can't help that the agenda runs the time frame that it runs. It starts at 9:30, and that's just the way that it is, and can't make, anyway, bottom line is the applicant was not here, and to make a judgment without that is not fair to the protesters. Ms. Everett?
I guess the question is, and I know there's already a motion on the table, but could we consider looking at a way to, for example, there is a modification from one of the contestants, or could we postpone to the next meeting? Is there a way to still have full information and deliberate on a better understanding given the challenging circumstances?
Well, what you'll be confronted with this time, if you do that, is that the applicants will be able to come in, will be able to give testimony, and then every one of the protestants that are here will have to come back because they won't have the benefit of hearing what the applicant said unless they come back. They're here today. That's the concern. It's almost like a matter of court as far as evidence is concerned. They have the right to hear everything that is said, and by now it's somewhat out of procedural order. Mr. Zedrin, do you have any suggestions as far as...
The other part is this coin is that this guy does not want to promulgate oysters for the oyster industry. It's been stated he wants to use it for personal use. And so that's not the purpose, but that I understand that's what we're supposed to be doing is lease this oyster ground to develop the oyster industry, not for personal use. And as we said, we're talking about 61 acres here. And I really got a problem going around that park because as been said here, these people come from all over the Commonwealth and everywhere else, and they expect the place to be safe. And by putting that kind of line around a state park, to me, is just asking for trouble. And so, and here's the deal. I mean, we're a state agency just like a court. When I start court at 9 o'clock, you better be there. And you better be there when I call your case. And so we can't inconvenience the public just because you got a personal problem. And so I don't think continuance is the answer at all. He was here. He was told. He was trying to get the commissioner was going to give him an opportunity here. When we found out how many people were wanting to testify, they came back. He should have come back. You know, understand it was two of those people here, okay? One of them could have come back because the other one didn't have to go to work. And so I think we need to, make a decision today.
Ms. Lusk?
I think I regretfully agree that without the applicant here, it's really tough to make a call. I really wish that that he was here or had at least left a representative because I don't necessarily think that this is an inappropriate place for leasing bottom, but it is. There are still some questions in my mind about the size of the application and how he would handle some of the concerns that were here.
I agree with you. I mean, it gives you a bad feeling in your stomach when we're up here to try to make an informed decision. And by no fault of ours, that opportunity has been snatched from us. That's the bottom line. So anyway, Mr. France?
Yes, you know, I'm going to vote to deny this application, but even as a commission, if we suggested changes in this configuration, the applicant's not here to even accept or deny. So I will vote to deny this.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Ben, for the hard work. Sorry.
Sorry indeed.